He sings too. That's awesome. He's hired. Good. How y'all doing? You're on this side of the screen. That's amazing. Like, you're not on the TV screen. Like, I'm on it. Like, we're in the TV. This is the TV. Welcome to the TV. Our Lord, well, forward words, just to touch on the Acts of the Apostles for a moment. We're finishing St. Paul's first recorded homily as he goes on describing, again, opening the scriptures to his listeners about the Old Testament and how the Old Testament, about Abraham and Jacob and Moses and everything that was promised, has come to fulfillment in Jesus Christ, and especially and despite, rather through his suffering and death and resurrection, just as was promised. And I think we'll see later on how they received that. And Paul, starting in the Jewish synagogue, then has to go talk to the non-Jewish, the Gentile peoples, with that promise and message of salvation. And the gospel continues to spread throughout the rest of the Acts of the Apostles. We've been walking in kind of a figurative way through the liturgy with Jesus after his resurrection, as would have the apostles, for 40 days after Easter. God bless the church. We have 40 days of Lent and penance and 40 days of Easter to rejoice and indulge and experience a taste of heaven. And speaking of heaven, just the way that our Lord has been opening their minds and their hearts to the gifts that he's given them, the truths that he taught them, the faith in the resurrection, the gift of baptism, the gift of the Eucharist, the reality, even in this imperfect state of the kingdom of sin, the fact that we can still sin in this imperfect state of the kingdom, that mystery of mysteries. I think we talked about something else too that I'm forgetting. And then today he's like opening, we're walking with him, reflecting on what Jesus said that he was going to bring to perfection. The church that began, the kingdom of God that is among us, although imperfectly, that mustard seed. Yet there's still more to come. And Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Even though we're in this imperfect state, the kingdom might seem to be not here because you still have terrible headlines and terrorism and violence and sickness and epidemics and moments when your brother hits you and it just hurts because it's not fair that he didn't get punished for it. Like, the state of the church right now, it's imperfect. We all want the house of pleasure and entertainment and constant joy, that's still to come. And Jesus is making that promise. Have faith in me. Wait for me. I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. It's full of great places. It's like a theme park that you never get tired of. It's like Disney World times 1,000. And you can never, right? That's awesome. Like, you never get enough of Disney World times 1,000 and 1,000,000 and 1,000,000,000,000. And our Lord is trying to open their hearts to the kingdom that has begun now, and yet is still coming to its fullness. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many amazing dwelling places, just awesome theme rides and everything else. And I go to prepare a place for you. And I will come back and take you to myself, which you tasted now in imperfection and impartial participation through baptism, through the life of grace. I will bring you to its fullness in the life of glory. I was reminded that when we try to speak about heaven, what does St. Paul say, if I can find that number real quick? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard what God has ready for those who love him. We can't even try to put words to it. I love this word, ineffable. You can't speak of it. Your words fall short. Let's see, it's the mystery of the blessed communion with God of heaven and all who are in Christ. This communion with God and with all who are with God is beyond all understanding. If we've tried to put our minds around it, they would explode. And it's beyond all description. Scripture does kind of reference it with images, life, light, peace, wedding feast. How much fun is a wedding feast? Wine of the kingdom, the Father's house, the heavenly Jerusalem, the city made perfect, paradise. Who doesn't want to go to Paradise Island or something? Paradise. And even like the Good Shepherd that we started with, the Good Shepherd analogy, like the Good Shepherd leads his sheep into green pastures. That like never, you never run out of grass for the sheep to eat. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, nor the heart of man can conceive. We can't even conceive what God has ready for those who love him. We ponder it a little bit. I was kind of distracted. The whole catechism, you know, six whatever number of pages and numbers, only has 1.5 pages of heaven. Because you can't put words to it. To live in heaven is to be with Christ. I will come back to you and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be. To be with Christ. Those chosen by God live in Christ. But they're not like absorbed like nirvana, like you're absorbed into the nothingness. Like, no, they still retain, or rather they fully discover their true identity, their full name. The book of Revelation talks about how they have a name that no one knows. God says your name in a way no one else can say it, and you'll hear it sung in heaven the way it was always meant to be. I think Isaiah talks about, you will be called by a new name. You will no longer be called this loser little brother who can't do anything right. You shall be called my delight in you. Whatever your name might be, if it's like, just think of the way God says the name Jared. You know, it's like, wow, it's like echoes through heaven. It's an amazing sound. So anyway, we could go on and on. And I do encourage us, we spend too little time in this world. We're so busy and bogged down with our anxieties and shucks darn, my Xbox isn't working, or the bike didn't turn out okay, or we ran out of cookies, mom, you let us down. Whatever the case may be, right, certain people. We want to focus our hearts on what is above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Our hearts are not to be anchored down here. We need to set them free. What's the devil do? He tries to fill you with more anxieties, more problems, more issues, more things to worry about. All that does is keep us like just chained. What does Jesus say to Lazarus in the tomb? Unbind him and let him go. Let our hearts go towards heaven. Let our thoughts and our desires realize they're going to be fulfilled. Can I read one more? The perfect life of the Trinity, this communion with God, with the Blessed Virgin Mary and all the angels and the blessed that we call heaven, it is the ultimate end and the ultimate fulfillment of the deepest human longings, a state of supreme happiness. Not just regular happiness, not even biggie-sized happiness, but supreme happiness. It just gets better and better every day for ages and ages and ending. So we want to just realize that's where we're going. That's what Jesus came to bring us. That's what the crucifixion was for. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. That's what we're all called to. That's what we're all made for. May we not get too distracted or chained to things below that are passing, when our Lord has promised us and gained for us a treasure that will never be exhausted. Amen? Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, pray for us.